All right, 7:01 here on X's and Bros. I'm Dennis Fithian. Ready to get things rolling here in the 7 o'clock hour of the Michigan Sports Network. It's great to be with you here. I've got a question out there for you. Your trust level in the Lions organization a day before the NFL draft. Coming up at 7:35, the pick is in. For me, I'll have you a Lions prediction at number 29 coming up at 7:35. Right now, we're asking you about that trust level for the Lions organization. But really, we've got open topics. If you're somebody that wants to get into the Tigers, you've been watching the NHL playoffs and you had a thought, you want to dive into the NBA playoffs and you had a question or comment, well, get on in at 866-838-4843. That's 866-838-4843 on the Meyer hotline. Also utilizing the texting Sports Radio to 21,000. That's Sports Radio to 21,000. Tell me what you think about any of it with open topics out there. And you know, how do you think I'm doing so far? A little shaky, very professional. You'd like to hear a little bit more about the transfer portal or something like that? I don't. Transfer portal is pretty wild. If you're a transfer portal fan, I'd say if you're a college sports fan, and there are a lot of college sports fans out there, you at least have to look over there at what's going on with that transfer portal. Last night, speaking of the NHL playoffs, you had the Rangers taking a 2-0 lead with a 4-3 win over Washington. Florida, for overtime winner to beat Tampa 3-2. They have a 2-0 series lead. Colorado comes back and evens up their series with Winnipeg with a 5-2 victory against the Jets. And then Nashville, they went to Vancouver and won by 3-4-1. And that series is tied at 1. And in the NBA, Minnesota takes a commanding 2-0 series lead, beating Phoenix 105-93. And the Pacers, they even up their series with the Bucks. They go on the road without Giannis, beating the Bucks without Giannis, 125-108. That series is tied at 1. And so, too, is the series between the Mavs and the Clippers as Dallas upended L.A. 96-93 last night. And the Tigers, they doubled up the Tampa Bay Rays 4-2. And they take the first two games of that series. And the Tigers are 4 games above 500. And they've got Jack Flaherty on the mound tonight in a 6:50 start. I say that 10 minutes makes a lot of difference if you're somebody that gets up early. But it's more than 10 minutes. Most of these games, you know, 7:05, 7:11, you've seen. So you're starting 21 minutes beforehand in a lot of cases. And makes a difference. You know, you're tuning in, it's like 9 o'clock, and this game's like, wow, this game is 6th, 7th inning. That's pretty good. I like it. Now, if I turn my attention to the Lions organization, and I answer the question about my trust level overall, this thing has completely flipped. I know there's a lot of debate, and we even had the first text that came in on 21,000, when you text Sports Radio there, it came in and said, yeah, the Lions should have kicked the field goals in the second half against the 49ers. I'm not going to argue with that. I thought that they should have myself. I think that if I was sitting in the casino and I looked over and Dan Campbell was sitting next to me and he had two kings, and he said, hit me, I wouldn't be surprised. That's Dan Campbell. He's a gambler. So I think that if the Lions are in the situation next year in the second half and they're in a situation where it's a 4th-and-2, they're in field goal range, whatever, I think he's going to go for it. And then I think if he's in the same situation again later on in the game, he'll do it. Now, I don't know, maybe he will adjust. But, you know, it's the one thing about gamblers and even gamblers as coaches. I'm not talking about, you know, betting. I'm talking about but gambling as a head coach. A lot of these coaches that love going for it and however you want to say it, going against the trend, caution to the wind, they don't ease off. I think of Oregon's coach, Dan Lanning, watching the Ducks, the new Big Ten brethren coming in. That guy, he's hitting on 19. He's going all in every time if he's playing Texas Hold'em. It doesn't matter what his cards are. It doesn't matter what the game situation is, it seems, with Lanning. That guy is, he's going for two. At the end of the half, he's coming out. I mean, it's sometimes you don't feel like there's a rhyme or reason. At gamblers, they are going to push the envelope and they are going to go for it. That's how they see it. But my trust level with the Lions is completely flipped, and I give a break. I give a break to myself, and I give a break to everyone who follows the Lions who doesn't really know what to do here, and people that getting on them like, hey, you need to start focusing on next year, or you should be able to question, you know, Brad Holmes and all these different things. I don't know how Lion fans should handle success. They've never had any. If we can look towards the other teams, we have seen success, and you know you can lean on it. I remember what it was like when the Red Wings were going to the Stanley Cup Finals and winning cups and everything else. With the Lions, you have nothing to lean on. I hear people say, well, Lion fans are too cocky. I mean, how should Lion fans handle last year's success? I think they should be outright giddy. I think they should be extremely confident. You have a general manager who has shown that he can go into an NFL draft, the most important building block, the most important thing, if we're just sitting here in a vacuum and say, hey, what is the most important thing for an NFL franchise? You could get specific, but in general, you would say they need to do well in the draft. And Brad Holmes has done that. And Brad Holmes, he has done a lot of zigging. Like, we could sit in here and say, oh, yeah, it was pretty easy to come up and, you know, pick Hutchinson a couple years ago at number two. Sure, it was. But the signs of a really good GM, yeah, they take the pick when it's presented. But you even look back, I mean, since his first draft, in 2021, and Penei Sewell sitting there, and you get off to a pretty good start when you grab what looks like a guy that's going to be certainly trending that way, a Hall of Fame tackle in Sewell. And then you go deeper into the draft and you get St. Brown. So high marks all the way around there. You're thinking about the Lions and where the trust level is. And it's wild saying that because previously, any other show, any other year, I would be saying the exact opposite about the Lions. But here we are in 2024, and it's quite the difference when you were talking about the trust level with the Lions organization. We will look towards the draft and talk about how Michigan may set some records. Where will J.J. McCarthy go? We will talk with Trevor McHugh, the senior editor, Maize and Blue Review. That's coming up straight ahead here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.com. TV. That's MHSAA.TV. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
Imagine this, winning big at Soaring Eagle. The food district is now open. There's something for everyone, from Bubba Coo's Burritos to Bonanno's New York Pizza Kitchen to Guy Fieri's Chicken and Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches. Savor every delicious flavor at the all-new Food District. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway. Reimagine. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
In the morning here on X's and Pros on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Dennis Fithian in for Matt Shepard, a day ahead of the NFL draft, and it's really pure Michigan. I'm looking at the highs today down in Detroit around when the draft would kick off in the 40s. But of course, the draft is not today. Tomorrow, a little bit better. It looks like it would be in the 50s. If it was going to be taking place on Friday, you have highs in the mid-60s. And on Saturday, where the draft is going to take place as well, you have temperatures up close to 80 degrees. Now, nothing is more Michigan than that weather forecast right there. We're continuing on talking about the draft. And we welcome in Trevor McHugh, the senior editor, Maize Blue Review, out of Rivals.com, who joins us here on X's and Bros. Trevor, how are you?
Doing good, Dennis. I am never going to turn out a chance to get up this early in the morning and talk about football with you.
Well, you cover Michigan. It's never over celebrating national championships. You get the spoils of victory, and I've noticed it since January, where there's been some victory laps. The combine, where Michigan sent a record number of players to Indianapolis. The pro day about a month ago, where it seemed like a Friday celebration with all the players, the current players and the former players. And then tomorrow, Trevor, and this weekend, the storylines for the NFL draft. Certainly the quarterbacks, Michigan's involved there. The wide receivers, they got one. And that's just, we're just sitting around talking about the first round. But this draft being in Detroit and in Michigan, they're one of the big storylines heading into this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, they have an opportunity to break another record. Like you said, with the combine, they broke the record for most invitees, and now they're going to try and break the record for most players selected. It's going to be close. They've got six offensive linemen in the back half of the draft. It'll be interesting to see where they go. But, yeah, there could be a Michigan player selected in every round of this draft. It's going to be impossible for them to not be the storyline, because you're just going to constantly have these guys coming up. And it starts right at the top of the draft with J.J., and then in the second round with guys like Mike Stainer, still Roman Wilson, potentially Chris Jenkins as well. But, yeah, they are going to be all over this draft, and I'd imagine there'll be some Michigan faithful in that Detroit crowd making noise as well.
Heck, yesterday I was listening to a draft expert, and he was taking a shot. The question was, who's somebody that nobody's talking about that could go in the first round? And he said Junior Colson. I kind of jumped. I was like, oh, Junior Colson. So I don't know. That was one guy's opinion. We have an awful lot of those. I want your opinion, though, on a couple different predictions. Will Michigan, if I gave you $100 and said you had to bet it on Michigan going over 15 players drafted, which side of the ledger are you putting your money on?
I'm going to go yes, they're going to break it. My number right now is 16. Like I said, I do think it's going to be close. But I also have a feeling if it came down to Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh having to make a pick to get that record broken, they're going to make sure it gets done. But like I said, it's going to be close. I think it's really going to come down to Carson Barnhart, Trent Jones, Ladarius Henderson, some of those offensive linemen, if they get snatched in the sixth or seventh round or if they end up going as undrafted free agents.
We're talking with Trevor McHugh, the senior editor, Mays Blue Review, and some of the storylines for the NFL draft as it applies towards Michigan. Everyone's talking about the QBs, and I've started to see some of these wild rumors about, even Caleb Williams, maybe the Bears won't do something. Daniels, they didn't like him at Arizona State. Drake May, it's got the biggest ceiling, but also the biggest tag of bust on him. I mean, all of these different things being said about these guys. Something was made up about him or something. So a lot of wild different things there. I think with JJ, he doesn't want to be one of those first three picks. What would be best for him, actually, is if he falls a little bit. A lot of times when it comes down to these QBs, it's like where they land, what they have around them, and what the plan is for the team. How do you see JJ fitting into all this? Where would you draft JJ McCarthy? I know there's a lot of questions at you there, Trevor.
Yeah, well, first, you're 100% right. I think the success of the QB in the NFL is such a crapshoot, and it depends so much on fit and what team they go to, right? Patrick Mahomes, if the Chicago Bears draft him, are we talking about the same Patrick Mahomes if he doesn't go to the Chiefs, sit behind Alex Smith for a year, play under Andy Reid, right? So where JJ needs to go to be successful is wherever the best fit is for him. I'm not 100% sure where that is. I do buy into the Vikings. You can get into some of the scheme stuff with, play action and run game and defense, but If the Vikings trade up to take JJ at the fifth pick, that's going to be the worst kept secret in NFL draft history, I think. So I am suspicious of some of that hype, but I agree with you. I would rather go to a better franchise or a team that's, focused on building around me or that I know I have a good fit with. But at the end of the day, JJ himself could be a good fit wherever he goes. He's a mature person. He has a unique perspective. He has this ability to be present in the moment, just an incredible work ethic, and he's a winner. And that's the biggest thing. I think everybody's talking about, he's rising up draft boards. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think a lot of NFL folks have been familiar with the kind of prospect JJ is for a long time.
Yeah, you think about the Vikings, Lions fans listening, they don't want to see that. It's like, hey, congratulations of JJ, but anywhere except the Vikings, although it doesn't fit all of the perfect scenario, but he does have another JJ there at Justin Jefferson. That's not a bad spot. You're thinking about having potentially the best wide receiver at their disposal. Meanwhile, if you go to the Patriots and you start taking a look at their roster, or the Commanders, where you're thinking about number two or number three, you don't want to go there. Boy, the Rams who have Stafford sitting there, or Geno Smith with the Seahawks. Now, those guys probably are going to have to come up to get him. But going into a situation where you've got Sean McVay, McDonald, who was a coach when J.J. McCarthy was at Michigan, the new coach in Seattle. I like those spots. But like I said, they would have to come up to get him when it comes down to it. I also think the Giants, as much as you talk about the New York deal, and the Vikings certainly have been rumored to come up. The Giants also have been rumored to go up, and I know a lot of Giants fans are like, no, they don't want to do that. This is going to be like Daniel Jones 2.0. But the Giants have Daniel Jones, and they are going to play him, and sitting behind Daniel Jones, if he did go to New York, that's a pretty nice spot for him.
Oh, you're spot on. Yeah, I think if you just throw out the trade potentials and moving up, I'm with you. The Rams and sitting behind Stafford and then getting to learn from him and then eventually play in McVay's offense makes a ton of sense. But yeah, Giants are a similar situation where he can come in, spend a year, get acclimated to the NFL in the process, potentially learn a little bit, and then either eventually take over or, you know, we've seen that still be successful in this league instead of just immediately throwing a rookie to the Wolves. I brought up Patrick Mahomes waiting for a year, and then now another Detroit Lions rival, Jordan Love. A lot of people mocked that pick when it happened and kind of started talking about him being a bust, and then all of a sudden last year it's like, oh, Packers got another one, right? So I do think JJ could benefit from going to a place where he could wait a year. So, yeah, the Giants make a ton of sense. The Rams make a ton of sense. And the Vikings do have, you know, Sam Darnold. Maybe they would let JJ wait for a year there. But yeah, him getting to sit for a year makes a ton of sense. I would prefer that over, like you said, New England or Washington, where they want him out there day one and they're trying to sell jerseys.
Trevor, I'm out of time. I could talk to you forever. Do you have a pick for the Lions at 29?
Oh, man, who knows what Brad's going to do, and at the end of the day, he's whatever he does, Lions fans, you just have to say, you know, we trust you. Cornerback, edge, offensive line, wide receiver, it could be any of those. I think if somebody like Chop Robinson, a speedy edge player that you could pair with Aiden Falls, that's something you absolutely have to consider. Otherwise, yeah, corner like Kool-Aid, or hey, don't sleep on Mike Stainer still being the pick there, putting him at nickel and then moving Branch to safety.
Ooh, Agent Zero. Hey, appreciate your time, Trevor. All the best. At Trevor McHugh on Twitter. Chop or Kool-Aid or Agent Zero, we'll put you down. We'll give you three. I'll give you my pick for the Lions at 29. Coming up straight ahead here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state, and Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's D-O-E-R-E-N-M-A-Y-H-E-W or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
The 29th pick of the NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select Cooper DeJean, safety from Iowa. Woo! There it is. My prediction. Welcome in. X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Dennis Fithian. Yeah, that's my pick. DeJean from Iowa. Fits a need, he falls a little bit. That can happen when you have the draft. It's not going to go exactly like all of the experts think. Every year you sit back with these teams that are in the, that were in the playoffs, that were in the championship games, and players fall to them left and right. You just have to think about the second round, and there's usually about four or five guys that were pegged to be first rounders that, you know, teams that are thinking about coming up and getting when day two of the draft happens. And so I could see it. That is my prediction. Cooper DeJean. And I would love to see it for the Detroit Lions selecting the safety out of Iowa. We're talking a lot about the draft. I'm in for Matt Shepard this morning. It's great to be with you. I've got the question out there about the Lions organization and your trust level for the Lions organization heading into the draft tomorrow. I would like to hear from you. 866-838-4843 on the Meyer Hotline. 866 888-438-4843. Get that text in. Sports Radio to 21,000. And we will read those texts on the air. We've got open topics for you. If you're not someone like the universe is the NFL draft right now. It's always that way. And it's in Detroit. So it is. And if you can't get enough, well, you know, you're in the right spot. It's even going to intensify tomorrow as it actually gets to draft day. So I want to hear from you on it. If you've got that pick, go ahead and let's hear from you as well. I just want to finish up on the trust level for the Lions organization. And there's always going to be a lot of talk about the Lions. You know, should you question Brad Holmes? Should you not be, you know, I don't know why you should be negative. I would say as someone who has followed this team my entire life, if I was doing a show last year, I could completely understand why you would be negative. But they have completely changed everything, and everything looks right for them right now. Now, you could say, well, they're likely just to go back. Well, that's being very pessimistic. It could happen, but I would say just roll with it. But I have never been in a situation where you have the Lions getting ready to pick, where I feel like, you know, the GM deserves the benefit of the doubt. And I'll get to your calls in just one moment. It was just last year where the Lions were on the clock. I remember heading into the draft. I'm like, you know, they should Witherspoon out of Illinois. That's the guy, or Gonzalez, the corner out of Oregon. That should be the pick for the Lions. Well, Witherspoon went to the Seahawks in front of the Lions. And then it's like, all right, you know, Gonzalez is falling right in their lap. The Lions move back in the draft and take a running back. That was a completely unexpected. That was the shocker of all shocks. And they already had DeAndre Swift on their roster. You follow enough of NFL people who, you know, they talk about who to pick and who not to pick and the running back. And then here they are making a selection. And they could have taken Bijan Robinson, and they don't. So it was a wild selection. And yet, look at it. It turned out to be a great pick. And then the way that the selections with Laporta going, you know, they move back. They use that Arizona pick to get Laporta. And there's no bigger stroke of genius as we sit here right now than that from the Detroit Lions last year. And that's just like one of five that you could just call deft moves by Brad Holmes. But that particular one right there, moving back, getting Gibbs, and then parlaying it into Laporta with the Cardinals picking up that early second-round pick. I mean, that is that's masterclass, or that's at the very top of anything that you would do. All right, 866-838-4843. My pick is in. Your trust level for the Lions organization. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, we got G.R. Scott on the line.
Jared?
G.R.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's up, G.R.?
Hey, buddy. G.R. is Grand Rapids, just Scott. My confidence level goes in a few directions, but confidence, I mean, I only give 100% to the amount of love that I have for my children, that I'm going to die someday. So, but that's about the only 100% I have. But I'd say 98 for the upper management, including Sheila Ford. Now, I go from her to Spielman to Holmes, and they get a 98, 99. They're putting it together. Then the coaching. I'm really solid on the coaching, but it's we got to do something about the third quarter. I don't know what happens. I don't know what goes on. I don't know if they overthink things at halftime, but third quarter, I think we were 25th or 24th in the NFL on being outscored in the third quarter. So something's got to that's a coaching thing, I think. You know, I go to players most of the time, too, but when it's the same time frame almost every game, we got to look at doing a little something different there.
But, yes, Scott, I think that is a fair criticism. If that is the number that you're talking about coming out slow in the third, I would say that what's more important, a fourth quarter or a third quarter, it's going to be the fourth quarter in how you finish. And then you look at the final product, right, 12-5, and being able to win the division, you know, that's going to be more important too. I'm with you on what you're saying,
I'm not being like that. The Lions exceeded my expectations last year, and I know I'm not going to go back and say, oh, we blew the NFC champion. I'm not going to do that. There's too many things you can point to that could have went right, could have went wrong in that game, and we're just not going to get into that because I'm just very proud of what they did last year and will not be negative about them at all. But as far as moving forward and who they're going to draft, if a guy like Neighbors at wide receiver or Quinyon Mitchell or somebody like that is still available after 10, you have to pay too much money. You have to pay too much capital to get into the top 10. I don't think that we need to do that, and I wouldn't like to see that. But if one of those guys are number one on their big board and they're still available at 12 or 13, I'd package a fifth round in our 29th for that in a heartbeat.
Well, and it's not going to be the craziest thing, as if we just look at what Brad Holmes, and we appreciate it, Scott, and calling in from Grand Rapids. What we have seen from Brad Holmes is that he has gone up in the draft, way up in the draft, and used some of the capital that he has to get Jameson Williams. And then, as I just mentioned, last year he moved back. So if you're somebody saying, hey, I think that the Lions could move back at 29, and you say they did it last year. Okay, you could say that the Lions, if they target a guy like you're talking about early in the teens, that they could go up if that was number one on their board. Absolutely, that could happen. So that's why you're sitting back if you were telling somebody that necessarily, and I have a couple friends that love the Lions, one of them that is definitely going down to the draft tomorrow, and the other one was like, I don't want to be sitting there to the end where the Lions are picking at 29 and everybody's gone. And I said, yeah, but the Lions could easily move up like you're talking about, Scott. And so you just don't know that part. If we're going to base it on what we have seen from Holmes in his three previous drafts, that, well, you could definitely see him moving up or moving on back. That's great stuff from Scott, who will not give the Lions the same billing as his kids, but he did. He was pretty damn close at 98%. I just have to say, we're going right back to the phones, but I was just scrolling through Twitter a second ago, and one of my favorite follows is Freddy the Pizza Man. And Freddy the Pizza Man was put out a tweet about Wade Boggs saying that he drank 107 beers back when he was playing, I guess, for the Red Sox. And he played for the Rays after that. And then went 2-for-3 the next day against Mark Langston. And Freddy was saying, no way. And you know, I was going to comment on that. But we actually have a Freddy on the line, which sparked my memory about reading that tweet just a moment ago. Freddie, you're on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
What's up, Dennis? How are you, buddy?
Is this the Freddie?
That's me, buddy. That's me. I'm the one that put out that tweet yesterday. It's funny. If you look through my tweets, I won't mention the name, but his son is a friend of mine, and he was a World Series champion. He texts me right away. He goes, Oh, you got to ask my dad about Wade Boggs. I said, I can't wait to ask him. There's no way you drank 107 beers in a four-hour flight to California and at dinner and then went 2 for 3 the next day versus Mark Linkson. That is, I call booyah on that. No way.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to drink 107 beers for a human. You know, it was mentioned in your below the tweet, Andre the Giant, who was, 7'4", 450 pounds. You know, you'd heard about some of his exploits in terms of drinking. And, I'll buy a case or two, I guess, from somebody that's that big, but... You know, it's not like Wade Boggs. What was it? Wade Boggs probably was, 5'11", 225 pounds. I don't think he could. I would bet Wade Boggs that, I don't want to see it, but I don't think he could drink a case of beer.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I know he ate chicken before every game. That was his superstition, but no, 107 beers, I don't buy it. So, Dennis, first of all, good to hear you. I go way back. I remember April 2006. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Usually my memory's pretty good. Turning on the radio of another station, and you debuted April 2006. Am I right on that?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I remember. Wow. I remember the day because I went to a concert. I remember I went to Michael Bublé that day. And I turned on the radio, and I'm like, "Who is this guy?" And there you are. So kudos to you. Good to hear you. I miss you and Caputo going at it once in a while. I know you guys has some fights in the back, but I know you guys are friends. But anyways, here's my thing, Dennis, with the trust level. I mean, obviously you gotta trust them, right? They've done a good job, they've done a really good job, and I'm the one that sent the text about the field goals. I'm still, if I could say it, pissed off about not taking the field goals. But you know what? It's over and done with. My only concern with the trust level is I don't like how they're taking receipts at the end of the year. The Brad Holmes press conference, Dan Campbell kind of said, hey, if you're on the train, stay on the train. If you're not on the train, get off the train. Jared Goff kind of, talking about negativity. I'm not saying he's wrong, but if you listen to that Brad Gailey interview yesterday on Twitter, he's like, I heard the chance, but I also heard the negative chance. It's like, we're past that, man. Just because you won now, don't bring that out in the universe. Let's leave that alone, because if you don't win, a lot of these media members, a lot of these fans are going to remember the stuff that you're saying. So let's not put that in the universe. And lastly for me, Dennis, I think you picked Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Did I hear that correct?
Correct.
I think he's going to go bold. I think he's going to trade up. I think he's going to get that defensive end from UCLA. Last name is Latu. That's kind of, I'm all over the board, but I think that's kind of what he's going to do. He's going to make a splash in Detroit, trade up and get this kid. And I think you're going to pair him on the defensive end with Hutchinson, and you're going to see a good 5 to 7 year run with these guys. So, Dennis, it's so good to hear from you, and I'll let you talk toward the end of this segment, and I'll call in tomorrow, okay?
Well, I look forward to it. I was already looking forward to tomorrow, but with the pizza man promising that he'll get in, now I even have something more to look forward to. At 29, if it wasn't going to be DeJean, the safety, I was thinking about a defensive end myself in Jared Verse from Florida State, or like Trevor McHugh, our guest last segment, he had Chop Robinson from Penn State. I was vacillating between both of those guys, thinking about making the pick for the Lions. I know that Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois, a lot of Big Ten players mixed in there. I see those guys the most, and their names pop up a lot around 29. I was thinking about them. DeJean's going to have to fall a little bit. But, yeah, if the Lions move up to get a defensive end in the edge from UCLA, then that's somebody that you could see being a top 10 pick. But he is an extremely talented player at a premier position. Uh-oh. I could see A's rolling in. Look, I you know, to me, whether you're somebody that still questions what happened in the second half, am I going to, if I was on here every day would I be talking about the second half against the 49ers and how the Lions melted down? Probably not. Excuse me. But this is the first day, and I am going back to it. And Scott didn't, because he's, you know, he wanted to be so positive, he's not even entertaining that anymore. I'm in this situation where I think that the Lions blew it in the second half. And it wasn't just some of the field goals. It was the quarterback. It was the running back. It was the receiver in Reynolds. You know, the Goff overshot. It was the offensive coordinator. And obviously, it was Campbell. But can you blow it and then still feel good about everything moving forward? That is the spot that I'm in. I can tell you that I never thought that there would be a day in my life where I would have a caller or myself saying nice things about the Fords. And yet I agree with what Scott had to say about Sheila Ford. We'll get a little bit more into that. A bus and sure things. Or if you've got that prediction at number 29, I want to hear from you on that. 866-838-4843. I'm Dennis Fithian. It's X's and Bros. Michael Bublé.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sports, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.